Thank you. I think it's the one that if you go out the back there.
Yeah.
And down along that little corridor.
Yeah.
And it's at the
yeah.
end.
Yeah.
I know what you mean though.
I don't want to know that. I never did it. Yeah. I get to that.
Oh yeah. Because the other one at the front is the...
Well, I've gone wrong, mate. But
the way that this is done, there's several areas in it that are undefined. There's space explosion problem. There's a problem where the current methodology cannot include software with the hardware. You can apply FMEA to software in theory, but they're not integrated models. And this is a massive drawback, because nearly everything has a microprocessor signals off the electronics making decisions. And even worse, we have distributed systems where we have electronics with a microprocessor on it, which is connected to a communication device, and that's absolutely typical. So there you've got several software hardware. So the current methodology of practice are outstanding. And they were invented in the 60s for a simple electric. It's very good. Lots of engineers, lots of experienced engineers sit round and try and work out how these things can go wrong. It's a very good process, but they're missing them.
Okay.
And
can I ask you
I have Chris Garrett and John Hill.
Right.
And I'm not sure what's happened to Andrew Fisher. Sent me an email saying he's gone to Salerno in Italy, and I don't know what's happening.
And your background is? Sorry, your background is?
I did an HND in software engineering at Brighton College of Technology. I then worked in flight simulation for 2 years, and then I worked in Ericsson for about 8 years, and then about 2 years on La Palma with the telescopes, and I was programming the control systems for the telescopes to track the stars and integrating the instruments that came in.
Right.
My work background has been a lot of control theory and electronics. Currently I'm working for a burner control company in Lewis. That's all control theory, things like brain scanners, controlling
your own
body. Yes. Sometimes things like applying Z transforms to brain scanners and things like that are filters, that sort of thing. But I've got an MSc in software engineering from here as well.
Yeah.
So that's not that bad. Well, I've been talking with Chris, and you're using the PIC-18 microcontrollers here and CAN-bus and all this, and it's stuff I'm doing at work as well. I've been working a lot with zirconia probes, the dual pump zirconia probes. So you have a control circuit, a simple PID to get the heat correct, about 780 centigrade on the sensor. And then you have another PID which controls the pump cell, which is pumping oxygen ions through the zirconia cell to balance the nerve cell to go safely, and that sort of thing. But we're not using the Bosch chips, we've just taken a piece and done it ourselves.
Okay. I'm just coming back to the question of the physics side.
Yeah.
According to last year, you were aiming for submission in October.
Yeah, that's October is what I'm aiming for still. Yeah.
Right, okay.
And over the course of this study, I've had 4 papers published. 2 of them in the IEEE. And then my second one. And one of them was describing this methodology, a modularized way of looking at FMEA. And the second one was saying, well, here's how you can apply it to software. So if you take concepts from contract programming, then you can define a function as having requirements, for input requirements, and then those can do. So in that way you can define the failure mode behaviour of the software function, and then I can integrate it in my models, which I've already got my hierarchical failure mode models for the electronics.
In the back of your thing, you'll have four
published papers
on the work, haven't
you? Well, one of them was something, when I did my NSC project here, I looked at an Euler diagram editor that could produce abstract mathematics, so you could, and that was quite, so there's one chapter in that NSC report. I said, well, you could apply this to failure mode analysis. Not only that, you could modularize failure mode analysis. And so Gene Flower, who was my NSD project supervisor, said, oh, there's a PhD in that. So that's what so in 2004, I wrote a paper which was derived from Chapter 8 of the NSD
project. But it's good to have peer-reviewed papers like that in your guide with the model and you have to publish papers there prior to the
finishing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And very good spend.
Oh, good, good. Well, I thought, yeah, there they are, 1, 2, 3, 4. But one of them is not directly relevant to this. Because it was a bit of a sidetrack, really, because there was, when I was looking at all the diagrams that had been drawn, one of the interesting things about this, what zones are actually available to use, and which ones have not been drawn, or aren't available. And so I used the Java area operation to write an algorithm to efficiently work out which zones were available. Because you have a state explosion problem, you have a 2 to the n, then there's 2 to the n possible for the number of, again, the number of contours you've got in your order diagram. There are 2 to the n possible order sort of zones. So if you go searching for them all, you clog things up. But okay. This was an effect. So that one's not directly relevant.
All of the data is there, you've got a whole piece of data.
Yeah.
You now concentrate on writing that thing.
Yeah.
So let's just have a quick chat about that procedure. I mean, how are you arranging, you said one of your supervisors has disappeared.
Well, I don't know what's happened, and I haven't asked the other supervisors about it, because I don't know what to say, really. He's gone to Italy. How have you arranged that so far with feedback from your people in the region? I mean, what I normally done is I've printed out the whole thing, 2.7 megabytes in PDF, and said I'm looking at chapter 7 and for the electronics and the electronics and software chapters, I really just go to Chris Gallagher because he's an electronic engineer. And for the ones that have some set theories and that, then I've given them to John Howe, and everything else I've given to them both.
Okay, so they have an idea of the narrative throughout the...
Yeah.
Okay, and how you're arranging that feedback process, is that working for you in terms of...
It's working. At times they're loaded up with work marking or lecturing or something, and it can be a tiny bit slow. So I find I have to kind of poke them a bit and say, could we meet this Friday? And then they will. But I think that's completely natural because you're putting things down, and it's the same with me at work. I'll be working on some particular thing, and then someone will ask me to pick something else up. And it's very difficult.
Well, I think that this is obviously your responsibility to provide some schedule. But obviously you're working full time, do you believe you have enough time to complete this? Yeah, because I believe that I'm more tidying up than actually writing.
I mean, I this one's quite old, but
so you have a good schedule in your mind, don't you? You know,
oh yeah.
And that's also the professors of Geneva, they are all conference papers.
Oh yes.
Is there fact, they've kind of done an industry, yes, which is very good, very good, very good journals.
Yeah.
Is there a way within this period that you can actually some paper, journal paper, a combination of the first couple of papers, what I saw there?
I think I could.
I mean, in particular, there's IEEE electronics. I think it's quite a possibility that you can bring this thing together. Yeah. Obviously, it doesn't have to be a original contribution, but if you have a different contribution from different conference papers, and you can add, you know, bring them together and get a conclusion if you wanted these two papers in a
I think one
of the more examples, if you want some more analysis, then you can, you know, go into general.
I think I could, because I could write one that was a little more general, which first of all introduced the methodology which was in the first IEEE paper, and then I could put the software onto top of it without having the software example. I gave I used a 420 milliamp input, because that's nice, it's just a resistor. And then a microprocessor with two C functions, one reading the analog port and one converting it into a 4020. And of course, if it's out of the range of 4020, it's an error, so it's a nice clear error to see. So that one has these two C functions in it, so it's quite clumsy. If I took that out and just wrote about it generally, perhaps I could almost crunch the two together. I think.
It's a bit of a foot on, but it just, you know, it will give, you know, the exam done in the conference, the journal,
Oh, but it would be submitted to the journal.
It doesn't matter. The main thing is, you know, for you to have, if you want, enough confidence, you know, to put something into a journal paper. And like I said, when the exam is done, which is not very sufficient, material to go into the journal, then it will give you more problems. And you never know, I mean, if you manage to do it within a month, probably, I mean, IEEE, they come back relatively quickly. And there's also IT electronic letters, which might be used for a very quick publication. So if there is something that is of such a value that, you know, has to be published very quickly, and then you will get very good feedback.
Okay.
So within the month, basically, you will know what is
happening.
So I think there is the IEEE electronic letters, IEEE electronic letters, registered with engineering technology, and the IEEE general electronic communication.
Friday afternoon, and ask them if they're available. obviously see him with the pieces, with the PDF that I produced, he typically used to send back a PDF file with notes on it and highlights on it. So I haven't done that for a while. I kind of thought they all knew about physics and electronics. And quite get that at first. I didn't quite understand. I was so used to dealing with, these people who were building instruments to go on telescopes or something like that. I didn't quite understand that what I was saying at first, which was quite frustrating, was not really understood. And I was told to go away and write things in set theory by the mathematicians. And having Chris Garrett there was brilliant. I can communicate on that.
It's speaking the same language.
It is, yeah.
So if I want to design some instrumentation for my area of research, I can come.
I've just been making oxygen sensors with the
temperature sensors.
Well, we're looking for a range of about 1 to 10%. That's where we need it to be accurate. But it's burner controller. So if you have an industrial burner. A bit larger than the ones you've got up on the roof here. You have to modulate it. It's not like one at home that goes on and off. It's one where you can request a certain amount of power. So if you need some steam for a food process or a brewery or something like that, or a hospital, you would have a POD on steam and you would set a modulation rate on the burner. So you've got to have servo motors which control the fuel air mixture. But when people physically commissioned the burner, what they did was they put too much air in, because if the air density changed, they didn't want to see smoke coming out of the stack. So if you put an oxygen sensor in the flue, you can trim the fuel oxygen mixture and get it down to sort of 2 or 3%. All the time.
I'm a tissue engineer, so I deal with plumbers and valves.
Okay.
But it seems like we've got some overlap, because one of the things I'm really interested in is reduced oxygen concentration and its effect on how sound responds.
Yeah.
So Matteo, you know, Matteo and I, we've come up with this sort of a coating that can actually suck oxygen out of liquid.
Okay.
And we can stimulate reduced oxygen concentration, which then has some effect on the cell. One of the things we need is we're working on this right now, systems that can actually measure those oxygen concentrations in the 3D construct that we're putting in for our cells.
Yeah.
So we're looking at things, where we're looking at two industrial burners, we're looking at all things that will replace tissue function in the body.
Okay.
I remember you.
Well, you can buy from Bosch, I think they're about £25 each, and they're a car part that will measure the oxygen, but you have to control it.
Yeah.
And if you buy the Bosch chip to control it, it's really looking for an area very close to where an engine's working. So, you could control it to be slightly rich or slightly lean. But if you control it yourself, you can measure.
I think then you write up and then we'll have a chat.
Yeah. It's very hot. The actual sensor element is 780 centigrade, so it might warm something up that's rather small.
Yeah.
But there are, if you extract the oxygen and then you put it into chemical cells, you have a greater lag, so it takes longer for you to get the reading. So your reading isn't just 15 seconds old, because it's gone through the fire tubes and up the stack. It's sort of a minute old, because it's chemical cells, it's going to run to the air. But you're probably not too worried about that. You'll get in a steady state ultimately.
Yeah, although, having said that, change is not determined in itself, can go to deemed on and off in a few seconds.
Okay.
So we have to grow them under the right concentration of oxygen all the time. Take them out,
yeah,
and put them in transient air to feed them all when you take them, and then put them in the jig to be switched back on.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck to you, and good luck with it.
Thank you.
You'll get a copy of the
doing a dance.